Let's read together Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 29. Now, in the second half of Proverbs chapter 22, we begin a section of Proverbs known as the Sayings of the Wise. It runs from verse 17 here in chapter 22, right on to the end of chapter 24. Let's begin by reading verses 17 through 21 of this chapter. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Let's begin our study of this second half of Proverbs 22 with some background notes. We said in our previous talks from Proverbs that the simplest outline of the book of Proverbs would be Precepts of Wisdom, chapters 1 through 9, and Proverbs of Wisdom, chapters 10 through 31. Now, most of these Proverbs were written by Solomon, as we've seen. But here in the second half of Proverbs chapter 22, and continuing on to the end of chapter 24, we have this section known as the Sayings of the Wise. This section includes proverbs that were written by other wise writers besides Solomon, because the wise in verse 17 is plural in the Hebrew language. The last phrase of verse 17, "and apply your heart to my knowledge," would indicate that Solomon not only compiled these wise sayings, but most likely wrote some of them himself as well. Verses 17 through 21 of Proverbs chapter 22, the verses that we just read, form the introduction to this section known as the Sayings of the Wise. After the call to hear and apply these sayings, there are three motivations given to follow these instructions. Number one, it will be a pleasing store of wisdom that you can share with others. Verse 18, "For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, let them all be fixed upon your lips." Number two, if you hear and apply these sayings of the wise, you will have a deeper trust in the Lord. Verse 19, "So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today, even you." And number three, if you hear and apply these sayings of the wise, you will have answers to give to those who come to you with questions. Verses 20 and 21. "That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you." This reminds us of what we have in the New Testament about our responsibility as believers to have answers to give to unbelievers who come to us with questions. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 in this connection. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now we'll come back to that verse for our practical application. The I in verses 19 and 20 of Proverbs chapter 22 could just be the wise teacher, but again, I think this supports the position that Solomon is the one who compiled and even wrote some of these sayings of the wise. Now, some of your translations have 30 sayings in verse 20 rather than excellent things. It can be shown that from verse 17 here in chapter 22 through verse 22 of chapter 24, that the included proverbs could be divided into 30 sayings. And then from verse 23 of chapter 24 to the end of chapter 24, there is an additional 6 sayings of the wise, as we'll see. Let's move now once again to our doctrinal point for the proverbs. The proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verses 22 and 23. "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." It's wrong to rob anyone, rich or poor. So the point of this proverb seems to be against robbing the poor legally. That's why the gate is mentioned in verse 22. The gate in Old Testament times functioned as the city court where legal transactions were carried out. Remember in the book of Ruth, the legal okay for Boaz to marry Ruth was transacted at the gate of the city. So the gate here in verse 22 is not talking about the gate in the fence around your house or farm, but rather the town court held in the gate of the city. So the point of the proverb is that even though you could take advantage of the poor and rob and oppress them legally by legal loopholes and technicalities, don't do it because it is wrong and the Lord is their defense lawyer. And you will not win in court against the Lord. In fact, your life is in danger if you continue your wrong legal wrangling. A word to the wise is sufficient. Distorting justice to take advantage of the poor and needy was one of the curses under the Mosaic law. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. Now, obviously, there is the other side of the coin, which Scripture also speaks to. The poor are not to rob the welfare system and refuse to work and expect and demand free handouts, etc., etc. Verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Do you know any hotheads? Stay away from them. Did you say your spouse? Well, that's a different matter. But even here, the Bible would counsel you to keep your distance from someone who is in a fit of rage or temper outburst. Notice the reason given as to why you would want to avoid a hothead. Verse 25, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. If you don't stay away from a hothead, you become desensitized to this sin. And before you know it, you're condoning the same kind of behavior in yourself. As 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. And remember, it only takes one uncontrolled outburst of anger, and you could ruin your testimony for life. Verses 26 and 27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? Haven't we heard this warning before in Proverbs? Yes. In chapters 6, 11, 17, and 20. So this is the fifth time in Proverbs that we're warned about becoming surety or co-signing for a loan or making a promise to financially cover for someone who may go into debt. Be extremely careful here because a creditor could literally take your bed out from under you, which is another way of saying that you could be completely cleaned out. It's true, and it's happened. Maybe you know of some sorry illustrations here. It's far better to give a helpful financial gift to a person than to co-sign for a loan. You could be very sorry should your friend or relative default on payments. Proverbs is very practical advice for everyday living, isn't it? Verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark or boundary which your fathers have set. In the ancient world, property lines and boundaries were marked by stones. These could easily be moved, especially at night. If the stones were only moved a little bit at a time, it was easy to steal your neighbor's property and add to your own. Now, this wise saying certainly has a far-reaching present-day application for the land of Israel, doesn't it? Who gave the land of Israel and its boundaries to the Jewish people? God did. How dare the ancient landmarks be moved by the international community? This wise saying also has a spiritual application for doctrine. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3. The content of the Christian faith, that is New Testament doctrine, has been revealed and given to the church once and for all. We are not to change it, add to it, or take away from it by watering it down or calling it outdated. Don't remove the ancient landmarks or boundaries. Verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. This wise saying is very practical. This is the key for moving up the proverbial ladder. Whatever talent or potential skill you have, work on it. Perfect it so that you become a skilled carpenter or an accountant or whatever. Be the best that you can be at whatever you find you can do, and you will move up. Illustration. We see this principle at work every day. You go into Walmart or McDonald's, and you see a very efficient, hardworking, and honest new employee. Come back a few months later, and you will find that already they have moved up the ladder, maybe even to manager of their area. It's a biblical principle at work. Think of Joseph and Moses and Daniel and Nehemiah. This biblical principle also works in the spiritual realm. When you realize what your spiritual gift is, use it and develop it. Become skilled in the use of your spiritual gift, and you will find that not only will your fellow believers be blessed, but the doors to larger spheres of ministry will open for you. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us to our practical application for the second half of Proverbs chapter 22. Be ready with an answer. Be ready with an answer. This is really a scriptural command, as we read in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Now the word defense here in 1 Peter 3:15 is the Greek word from which we get the word apologetics. Christian apologetics involves defending the Christian faith with answers to all the questions that people ask. We mentioned that this could certainly be an application of the wise saying that we have in verse 21 of Proverbs 22. That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer the words of truth to those who send to you. Now let me ask you, do you know how to give good and correct answers to those who come to you with questions about the Bible and about the Christian faith? 1 Peter 3:15 commands that we be able to answer the questions of the unbeliever. Have you studied some Christian evidences or apologetics? Do you know your Bible? Be ready with an answer.